Welcome back, friends, to the Amber May Show. So glad you are here joining me today because Colonel John Mills is joining us today, and we're going to be talking about Maricopa elections and the border issue because these are very important topics. So that's on today's show. Please like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing and would like to become an angel investor, the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com. Hit the donate button or going to theambermayshow.locals.com and becoming a $5 monthly subscriber. I always add more content to Telegram, so join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show there. I'm at True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, and Clout Hub. So join me on those platforms. But please like, share, and subscribe. And right now coming up is Colonel John Mills. Colonel Mills to the program. I always love having you on. We always have great conversations. You always leave my audience with so much information. So welcome to the program.
Hey, Amber. Thank you so much. An honor to be on your show regularly. Thank you so much.
So there's so much to cover. I don't know if you want to start with Arizona or if you want to do something different, but I'm going to kind of put the ball in your court this time because usually I'm like, hey, Colonel Mills, what about da-da-da-da-da? And you always give me so much information on the things that I want to cover, but I'm kind of leaving it up to you. What do you want to cover today? Where should we start with today's episode?
Well, I always, because you're one of the key figures on the ground in Arizona, I always like to do kind of a quick update on what's going on in Arizona, and so where do you think we're at? And I think this also, because of the chaos in Arizona, this is related to open borders, this is related to child trafficking, et cetera, et cetera. So where are we on the lawsuits right now with in Arizona?
I know Carrie Lake lost her last lawsuit. It didn't surprise me because it was the same judge that didn't want to hear the evidence the first time. And okay. So when the higher courts kicked it down to the lower courts, I was not very, I didn't have a lot of, what's the word I want to say? I just didn't have a lot of hope for it because first of all, there's a pride issue that goes along with that. When a judge makes a ruling, nobody wants to be questioned about the ruling. And then you have to wonder about our judicial system as a whole, because you just talked about a whole bunch of things that are going on and child trafficking and the open borders. And this has to do with the people that are in these offices, that hold these offices, that are part of the system that is creating these criminal aspects. Maybe they are not directly involved in the crime, but they kind of are because they are letting these things happen. And so I don't know if this judge is one of them in these group of judges and prosecutors that are complicit in letting these crimes go, or if it's just a pride issue, or he just doesn't think there's election fraud. You know, Colonel Mills, I was there on election day and I saw people in front of me not be able to put their ballots in the machines. They kept getting rejected. And I was there on election day when people were told, hey, you need to check out of this polling place and go into that polling place. And people didn't know how to check out. You're already checked in. How do you check out? There was so much chaos involved in the Maricopa County election in 22 that it made it ripe for the person who wanted to cheat. It made it ripe because nobody knew that, not nobody, maybe very few people, if there was even a check-in, check-out, the County Board of Supervisors said it was, but never in my life have I ever heard where you can check into one polling place, check out, and go to another. So it made it very ripe. How do you know for certain? Because you can't know for certain that people didn't drop ballots in multiple polling places because they could have said, oh, I tried to vote there and it didn't work. I tried to vote there and it didn't work. You can't say that. So there was so much issues with our last election. It's frustrating that this judge ruled against Carrie Lake.
Okay. So, and I think it's actually because of this, it's been punted upward to the Arizona Supreme Court. So there's still runway on this to fight.
Correct.
What are your viewpoints? This has become a little bit of a contentious issue. Do we vote day of, or do we vote if there is a voting season? Do we vote through whatever means is allowed? What is your viewpoint on that? And then I'll tell you what my viewpoint is.
Okay, I'm glad you asked me that question because what I think should happen is it is the senators and the Republic, the House of Representatives came together and did a joint resolution. And the joint resolution said that machines are not the primary source of voting. And if any part of that machine is made with parts from outside the United States, that's a national security issue and you cannot use the machines. However, knowing the County Board of Supervisors, I bet the machines will still be in the polling places. I have been telling my precinct committee men, I have been trying to tell people on the show, skip the machine altogether. We need a secure box where we put our ballots in, like we did before machines entered our Arizona elections, and go vote in person day of, because there's so many issues with the mail-in ballots. We already know that. So the best course of action that I can come up with, and maybe you have another idea, is going to vote day of, put not even bothering putting your vote in the machine. Not that the machine is the only way people are cheating, because it's not, but it's one way. It's one way they cheat, and that's based on legislative testimony from experts that came and spoke at the legislative hearing that we had in Arizona earlier this year. So I'm relying on people who have the expertise in the machines, in voting, in IT work, to give us a good way of practicing. Now, I'm open to ideas if you have a better way. I'm all ears.
Well, so it seemed to be now in Arizona, you can track where your ballot is, correct? A voter
No.
can track. No, you can't. So you have no
No, Mark
idea.
Fincham wanted to do that. And when he was going to be Secretary of State, he wanted to implement that. And he had the ballots already ready to go. And it was going to be like less than a dollar to print them. I was so excited about this ballot because we were going to be able to track our ballot no matter where it went. And here's the other thing that we lose the chain of custody when I don't know how Runbeck got into the scene. So how it works in Maricopa, at least, I don't know if this is standard throughout all of Arizona, but in Maricopa County, once they're done voting and they collect the ballots, it goes to Runbeck, this other company. It leaves county altogether. It leaves the government altogether, goes to another company called Runbeck, and they're supposed to do like tabulations and stuff like that. Well, what we
Okay,
found out with the
so
Carrie Lake case is there was no chain of custody, so we didn't know how many ballots went over there. Now, that's where you can also interject ballots if you wanted to.
okay. So just to simplify it, we and here's I think Amber in Arizona, because Arizona is going to be, the one of the three critical places for and it's really Maricopa. You're a Maricopa resident?
Yep.
Okay. So for 24, we got to get this down. We got to get this down. And it's Colonel Rhett John, the
Oh, I'm sorry. I
Colonel,
got that backwards.
spelling that Colonel Rhett John, spelling out Colonel, no space, RET, no space, John, Colonel Rhett
Okay.
John. I think we got to get a strategy down in Arizona. My position, thank you. Oh, there we go. Colonel Rhett John, Substack Getter and Truth. We've got to come up with a strategy for Arizona. And there's still some, and it sounds like you were trending toward only walk-in day of. I don't think that's the best strategy because you just earlier described the chaos on day of voting. I think if you have an election season, you may not like it. You may not be happy with it. I'm not happy with it. Doesn't matter. It's the law in Arizona. It just as in Virginia. You use that season. don't wait for day of, because I think what happens is you telegraph and tell the opposition exactly what you're going to be doing and when you're going to be doing it and where you're going to be doing it, which allows Maricopa's machines to break conveniently on election day. I don't know, and I'm talking to Joe Von Pulitzer and others. So there still seems to be a lot of confusion on this. I don't know. You vote however it is legal in your area. You cannot make a blanket statement on this across the nation and even within a state, because it can even vary within a state. In Arizona, I would leverage the entire election season. We have to get additional leaders, especially in Maricopa, to really, really organize the citizens of Maricopa to get this right and provide pressure on the election board, the election office to get this right. It's an abject mess. And showing up on election day, I think actually plays into the opposition hands. I don't like this run back thing. I think that's something that really needs to be pursued by the citizens. But it has to, a lot of these, I'm not a resident of Maricopa. I'm not I don't have a standing in Arizona. And so we've got to really get this figured out how to do this in Arizona correct. And it's going to be we need additional leaders and to provide further capacity. I know people have been fighting hard for a number of years since the 20 election, but we need to raise up new leaders and figure out how to break this stranglehold. And so I think leveraging the entire election period is the best course of action. Showing up on election day, you just described the chaos on election day. I don't think everybody creating a traffic jam on election day helps.
It wasn't the people per se. It was the fact that you just said the machines broke down. They wouldn't
Yeah.
go in,
Yeah,
and then and
because we told them we were all going to be there on election
you're
day.
right.
So
No, you're right. We did say
that's a
that.
very unwise idea, and yet people are ferocious about this. We're only going to be there day of. It doesn't because we don't it's it, we don't like this election season. Well, I don't like it either. It's the law in a lot of places. Use it, leverage it. I mean, I just we've got to get better on our side on using the law as it is and still winning, not the well the way we want the law to be. This is where we get caught up. Too many people on our side of the ledger get confused. They, I don't like it. It's not right. Doesn't matter. It's the law. Guys, do you want to win or you want to complain? So
Yeah.
I think that's important. I think that's important. And you got to break. This is where you use the term precinct man, precinct woman. So I'm assuming you're part of the Dan Schultz precinct project.
Well, I didn't do it. I didn't. Yes, I'm a precinct committeeman, but I didn't call him to help me. I just one day got so fed up and wanted to like go in here. It from the horse's mouth per se. So I looked up my legislative district meeting, found it, showed up, and then they recruited me right the day after I signed up and showed up to the meeting. I tried to argue with them and say, no, I don't have time. You don't understand. I am so busy. And they're like, no, you're gonna do this. I'm like, okay, fine. So after 30 minutes of going back and forth, I finally conceded and said, fine, I'll do it. And I'm glad I did because it gives me a voice in the Maricopa County Republican Party. And so I'm glad I did that. And then it got me to be closer to the legislators, which is good because if we want good legislation, we have to build a relationship. We can't have this anger. I hate this legislator because they're not doing everything I want. And we cannot have this anger. We have to build this friendship with them because what gets things done? Vinegar or honey? Well, honey does. I don't have to like everything he does or she does, but if I built a friendly relationship, they're more likely to hear what I have to say than turn me down because I'm yelling and screaming in their face. So, what I love about this precinct strategy is it's given me an opportunity to get closer with our state legislators and try to make a difference.
Hey, I'm gonna get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm gonna take a quick break.
Wow, it's so soft and smooth.
It's cool to the touch. How did you do that?
Well, we took MyPillow's patented fill
and combine it with this new technology that we didn't have back then when I invented MyPillow to bring you the best pillow in history, MyPillow 2.0. Because of all of you, MyPillow 2.0 has been a huge success. And now we're bringing you our best-selling go-anywhere MyPillows with the same temperature-regulating technology. Made with my patented adjustable fill and brand-new cooling fabric, they're truly the next generation of MyPillow. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to save over 60% on our MyPillow 2.0 four-pack special. You'll get two MyPillows and two go-anywhere MyPillows. Regular $259.92, now only $99.98. King size, just $10 more. This is a limited time offer, so please order now.
I'm Clay Clark. I'm a very pale male, and you're listening to the Amber May Show. Hey!
Hey, guys. I want to give you a pro tip to help keep your family healthy when everyone around you is coughing, sniffling, or sneezing, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go first to drstellamd.com. When you're there, go ahead and grab some COVID bites. Also, get your ivermectin. Set up your telemed appointment and get your ivermectin. I'm going to give you a promo code to help you save some money, and use promo code AMBERMAY, one word, and that will help you save money. Now, here's your pro tip for you. You can use this on your entire family. The adult doses too. I've talked to a medical expert. They said cut it in half when you're dealing with children. So one tablet. What I do with my kids, because it's just too big of a pill for them, I get a blender. I put a pill in there. I fill it with water and like some flavoring, and then boom, I have them drink it before school. Pro tip, and what it has, and it's amazing. It has quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all the therapeutics to help keep your body healthy and working at optimum health. Support your body's immune system when you use the COVID bites. They're amazing. So go to drstellamd.com, grab your COVID bites, get your ivermectin, use promo code AMBERMAY, and save some money.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
I'm on the phone with my state rep on the on a regular basis, trying to, well, help the children. You know, we wrote a bill together, and our bill did not pass this session, but I've also been shopping it around to other states and other state legislators. My bill just backs up what the Constitution says. If you are going to be tried, if your children are going to be taken away from you by family court, then you should be tried by a jury. Our Constitution gives us that right to be tried by a jury. However, in family court, you don't get that option. And I say, you know what? We need to follow the Constitution, convince more people than just one judge. And so that was my bill, and we're going to reintroduce it. But these are one way we can make this world a better place. It's getting closer with those that are in, have the ability to make policy change. And so I'm trying my part, but I like your suggestion, because you're right. We did give them, you know, hey, we're all showing day of. And that's when everything went crazy. The machines were working just fine beforehand.
Yeah. That's why I think it's a very unwise strategy, and I'm going to be having some meetings here to kind of resolve this, because there's still some people who are very passionate, even if it's in the law, that you only come in day of. I said that makes absolutely no sense. You got to play the ball by the way the rules are in that jurisdiction. If they say it's an election season, you leverage it. One thing I'd like to, you know, just kind of, I think it's important, and I appreciate your role as a precinct a committeeman. Now, I think primarily the Dan Schultz, I think that is primarily focused on control of the county GOP. So how are you guys doing on control of the county GOP in Maricopa?
I think it's pretty good. We just, you know, every January we reelect. I think it's every January we reelect new people. I think we have a good group that is leading the Republican Party in Maricopa. So I'm pretty happy with the leadership we have, at least from what I can tell. I mean, I don't know everyone personally, but from what I can tell, we have some really good people in leadership. So,
okay.
I left hopeful anyways.
Well, okay, so but there seems to be issues with the Maricopa GOP, because Maricopa, I believe, the GOP still controls the county board. Is that correct?
No.
So you lost control of the county board.
Well, they're elected by the people of Maricopa County. So they have to answer to the constituents. But do they answer to their constituents? No, they do not.
Okay. So let me restate the question here. So do Republicans or Democrats control the Maricopa County Board?
Establishment Republicans.
Okay. So it sounds like you have a problem in the
county. Talking about the Maricopa County. You're talking about the Maricopa County supervisors, right?
Right.
The ones that are in control of the Maricopa County, not the Republican Party of Maricopa.
Yeah, but there's an interconnection here that we need to establish. So if the county board is controlled by Republicans, and yet we're getting this abject mess because the county board has significant influence over the election board, over the election commission, how Maricopa is run. So I would posit that we actually have a problem with the Maricopa County Republicans. And so I think that's a very interesting issue. We have a county board that's dominated by Republicans. I would suggest what we need to do for Maricopa, GOP, again, to stay out of that. These are separate but interconnected issues. So the county GOP needs to, turn on and go after anybody on the board who is a rhino. So we can't have
all of them.
We can't have a GOP, county GOP, which is good. Yet we have a county board controlled by Republicans, which is a mess. Okay, that doesn't make sense. So,
well, they're precinct committeemen that get elected to control how the Republican Party runs in Maricopa County. And then the county board of supervisors are elected officials, like your state representative. They're just the local representative for the county. And they don't even listen to the state legislators. They put the middle finger up to them, and that's their superior body. So they're kind of like a rogue people, and we can't vote them out because they run the elections.
Okay.
It's a very bad situation.
Okay. So I would suggest there is a problem with the Maricopa County Republicans, because if they were being effective, they would be nominating new people to run against these rhinos on the board. So how are we doing on recall actions against the
That's what board? I have to find out, because I don't know. I have been out of that group but I've been so busy with other projects that I haven't been up to date with their recall efforts. So I don't know how that's going. I know that there's still going to be a recall effort against Katie Hobbs. Has that started yet? I don't know. Like I said, I've been involved in other projects, so I have not had my pulse on what's going on with the recall efforts.
Okay. Well, some of this, my focus on election are the seven centers of gravity, and I describe that in the book, The Nation Will Follow. I stay out of county politics as far as the GOP. I'm not a precinct chairperson. I love the Dan Schultz project. That's great. That's separate from this. It's separate but interconnected with the seven centers of gravity. But let me bring up a couple of points here that I think are relevant in Prince William County, Virginia. First of all, we just had an opportunity to replace the existing election registrar in my county. And I've outlined numerous cases where I think this person represents the machine cabal, and the way he's a professional registrar, which people say, well, I want a professional registrar. Well, do we, if they're beholden? I mean, he's on it right on his bio. He's touts how he received a very large grant. It's unclear what he got, but a large cash gift, grant, award, unclear, from clearly a left-wing source. So the Republicans are the majority because of Governor Youngkin. We now control the election board. What just happened was the doofus Republicans on the election board just reinstated just continued the employment of the registrar. And I really lost it with the county, you know, who I've supported in many ways. I've had two county chairpersons in the past decided to tangle with me. They're gone. The new one is a fighter, but totally blew it. This was their blocking and tackling assignment was to make sure this guy did not get renewed. And it's Eric Olson, who is the registrar for Prince William County in Virginia. Total fumble, total failure to execute blocking and tackling assignment by the GOP, the county GOP, because they have direct influence on who goes on the board. And then those board, the election board and those board members should only be appointing those who are most qualified to ensure a clean election of integrity. And they blew it. The GOP blew it because they nominated the wrong people to the board and they weren't paying attention to the board and providing them guidance and counsel when it came up to renewal time. Total failure of my county GOP. Again, I'm not a precinct person. I'm not a Dan Schultz guy. I love his effort, but this is where I have to reach in and tangle again with my county GOP apparatus. They totally, totally screwed up and dropped the ball and gave away the farm on this one. And our state GOP person, Rich Anderson, I'm now declaring he needs to be removed as the leader because we are not in a position to win. We should have won both the House and the Senate last fall. We blew it, did not. We also have a situation here where, and it's directly the state GOP, and I want to talk about this a little bit. It's the Senator Amanda Chase. So she was in Senate District 12. So in her primary, there was issues with the primary and a contender. She was already the incumbent, but there was some redistricting. There was a problem. And I had personally talked to the state GOP chairperson to get this fixed. He promised he would. He failed. The problem in the 12th Senate District, which is around Richmond, Virginia, is the GOP chair. Again, these are rules and regulations of each state and how they're run. But the GOP chair gave the name of Lauren Fuller to the Chesterfield Registrar's Office, which is a significant portion of the vote for the 12th Senate District for in the State House. So Lauren, she corrected the name to Lauren Fulcher. There was actually a typo in it, but the only problem with that, the name that was submitted by the GOP to assess the readiness of the machines for the primary was also connected, the biggest fundraiser and donor to the Glenn Sturtevant campaign, which was running against Senator Chase. So this is the intersection of corrupt county GOP, corrupt state GOP, throwing a specific primary election here. So this is where it intersects with the seven gravity. So I think this is very untoward. I think we have a problem here, right here in Virginia. I'm good friends with Senator Chase, but I want to see a clean election. It doesn't matter the outcome. I want to see a clean election. And here, county GOP failures in Chesterfield, state GOPs with Rich Anderson. I'm sorry, this is corrupt. So this is the importance again. I focus on those seven centers of gravity: county council, election board, registrar, school board, judges, sheriffs, and prosecutors. I focus on those which are separate but related to the county Republican Party. So we got a situation in Virginia that is very bad, and it represents. I thought we were going in the right direction in my county. My county GOP put the wrong people on the election board, and those people failed because they let Eric Olson back in as the registrar when it's clear he's part of the cult of the machines and the mystery of the machines. We need some form of machine, a simple tabulator, but our county GOP gave it away. So thank you for the update on Arizona, Amber. And we're going to be talking to Joe Vaughn about this and try to figure out what in the world is the correct strategy for Maricopa. But I also, it was a good lead-in. Now, you pivoting a little more here, you mentioned the Jim Caviezel movie. So tell us a little bit about that and what you and your husband thought.
Well, I think that it's a good movie that America needs to see. It's a hard movie to watch because it's really what happened. And America doesn't want to know what happens. I mean, I think to a point they do. There was a great turnout for the film. It took them 5 years because it was roadblock after roadblock after roadblock after roadblock because the powers that be want this to happen because billions of dollars goes into child trafficking. They want us to believe slavery is finished, that we don't have slavery anymore. And they want us to focus on whites versus black and that we need to hate each other because, you know, there's the white privilege and whites, you know, suppress the black people because at one time there was slavery in America. And they want us distracted with that, then look at the true slavery that's going on in the United States and around the world. And we are the leader in rape, slavery of children. You can sell a drug once. You can sell a child 5 or more times. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. And we are very complicit in it. If we wanted to shut it down in the United States, we could. We have the manpower, the law enforcement, the military. We could. My fear is, and we know from the Epstein Island, those in high levels of politics are a part of the problem. And so this movie really was a good way to show the American people how bad it is and how scared the kids are. They're trapped. The parents are devastated because their kids are missing. They use women to get the kids oftentimes. I did an interview with a woman who was a daughter of a single mom, and she had to walk to and from school every day. So the mom went to work, and the mom is, you know, thinking her daughter's going to be safe going to and from school. And she was about junior high when she was taken. This woman came around her neighborhood, started befriending her, started building a relationship with her, started, grooming her to the point that one day she asked for her help to go get some money. And the girl's like, okay. And that's when the girl was pushed into a car and was sold into slavery. And she was sold in slavery for many years. Finally, this man, so I don't know if he was part of the rescuing of children or if he just had a come to Jesus moment. I have no idea. But he helped set her free and helped her. They drove all night to try and find her home. She had a hard time remembering where she lived. Sad. So in this movie, it showed about talent. This girl was singing, you know, just when she was out shopping with her family and someone heard her. And they used talent, like as a talent scout, to come get the kids. And they used it very well. And they used a beautiful woman to capture all these kids. It was a very difficult film to watch, but we need to know it because here's how we fight back, Colonel Mills. If we're all very vigilant in our own neighborhoods and we're all watching out for each other, then that's how we can help fight crime. If there's something that just doesn't seem right, follow your gut instinct, call the law enforcement, make a report about it. You have to be careful watching your kids everywhere you go. Don't be on your phone because at any point in time, there's videos out there where people literally just snatch the kid and put him in the car. So you have to teach your kids as best you can. If this happens to you, I want you to do this, this, and this, if you're able to. And I always tell my kids, if someone tries to grab you, try to put your finger in their eyeball, kick them, bite them, but try to jam your finger in their eyeball. And hopefully that'll help get you released so you can run. Make sure your kids know your address because I've talked to Border Patrol guys and they have kids, like little kids, little tiny kids. I was teaching my kids from preschool with Mary Had a Little Lamb our address. So what happened if mommy becomes incapacitated and I need 911? You need to call 911. You need to sing them the song. here's our address, and then you can get help from mom. So like you teach them things like this, but situational awareness is very important because if you're aware of the situation around you, you're less likely to be a victim. And I think if all of us came together as neighborhoods, we could really help law enforcement rescue these kids because you've worked in government. You know exactly what the red tape is. In the movie, Jim Ballard was getting red tape. Like, it's like they cared, the government officials and the law enforcement community cared, but not enough. Like, I understand jurisdiction. How can a police officer in our country go and arrest someone? I understand that. But there's ways we can work together as government. And he wanted to go rescue this girl. He got the boy rescued, wanted to go rescue his sister. And he was getting caught up on red tape to finally, he was just like, screw it, I'm done. And he found local people that were trying to do good and rescue children. And that's how he was able to get this girl. And you know where? He went into one area that even the local police in Ecuador wouldn't even go in. Not even the military. What is that saying? Evil happens when good men do nothing. If you have law enforcement and military that won't go into certain areas of your country, guess what's going to happen there? Crime galore. Just a breeding ground for crime. So the movie was intense.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, the whole topic, I mean, it's really hard. It's important. It's a topic I just have a hard time watching the movie on.
Of course.
With Jim Caviezel and the whole crew, but I compliment them. I appreciate them. And I think there's a real strong nexus with the ungoverned space. Now, the key term, I think, is ungoverned space, which obviously Mexico is ungoverned space. Many of these Central and South American countries, which are where a lot of the child trafficking is coming from or being facilitated through or by, it's ungoverned space. Now, with Katie Hobbs in Arizona, you have ungoverned space. And you have an ungoverned space. Northern Mexico, you have an ungoverned border. This is the conduit into America for a very large percentage of this. And I think it's just a quick tactical note is you mentioned about how to educate children on this. I think one of the most important things is if an incident, a seizure is occurring at a shopping mall, wherever, make an immediate noisy spectacle out of it. Because a lot of times in the interviews of these kids or the attitude or mindset, people don't want to make a fuss. They don't want to make a scene. They don't want to make a spectacle. No, absolutely. You start screaming. You start yelling. You say, I need help. And last year, a very close family member had a medical issue, almost died, and right on the spot. And it was fortunately my daughter was able to catch them, and I was able to immediately start providing CPR. But I need immediate help, and I shouted out, "I need help! Somebody call 911! Somebody help me now!" And within minutes, I was surrounded by people who were helping, and I had doctors and nurses who just either were there or were alerted. And within 2 to 3 minutes, I had a nurse and a doctor helping me. But you want to make, just shout out, I need help. It's when you say something like that, it's amazing. People will help. Mm-hmm. Somebody's saying, I need help. So for a child who's being kidnapped, shout, I need help. I'm being kidnapped. Make a spectacle. Don't say, well, I don't want to cause a fuss or a scene. No. This is your life. Your life is at stake here. So this is important. And we have ungoverned space that is facilitating. You've got a governor, which I hope we do a recall effort on. You have an ungoverned border. You have an ungoverned Mexico. So it's bad.
And even the northern border, there's trafficking that happens there. And we don't often talk about that. We always think Mexico because of the cartel. And yes, it's a huge issue. Don't get me wrong. But our northern border is also trafficking children. And so what I love about the America Futures Project is they are building up classes. And their goal is to probably take it nationwide, but it's just the infancy of this program. So they're starting it out in Florida. Then they have a place in Michigan that they're going to be at. So if anybody wants to know how to spot this stuff or how to learn to combat this, there's places you can go and there's resources. But the bottom line is, if we keep our eyes open and our ears open to protect the kids in our neighborhood, if something just doesn't feel right, doesn't seem right, you have to make a report. You have to. It could be the life and death of that child, because the movie showed how quickly that child is gone and moved to other countries.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. So I wanted to introduce you to a company that makes really healthy personal care products, and that is Hero Soap Company. I love Hero Soap Company. This is my favorite scent. It's called The Meadow. It smells amazing. Oh, so nice and clean. You're getting healthy products, because did you know in the personal care products, they put a lot of garbage in there that disrupts the hormones and other things? Well, this is all clean products. You're supporting a company that's American-made product. It's co-owned by a veteran. And what I love about this company is they also support veterans and first responders with purchases of their soaps. So if you go to herosoapcompany.com, use promo code AmberMay at checkout, you're going to save yourself some money. So we're supporting a patriot-owned, veteran-owned, American-made soap company right here. We're supporting them. You're getting a discount, and you're getting healthy, clean products to use on your body at home. So herosoapcompany.com, promo code AmberMay at checkout.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Greg Locke, and you are listening to The Amber May Show.
In the early 1900s, like in 1920s, 30s, with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20. Maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, wealthmanagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like them to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
It showed how quickly that happens. And if that's your kid, you were going to do everything. You would want everyone to put the full faith and force of every ability that they have to go find your child. And so we just have to put ourselves in those parents' positions, that we just got to be mindful and we need to combat it here. And you were right. As soon as they installed Carrie Hobbs as governor, it was so by design, because Carrie Lake was very strong in what she was going to do with the border of Arizona. And they couldn't have that, because that kind of disrupts the flow of the drug trafficking and the human trafficking and, you know, bringing chaos to America so we can usher in communism. That was going to kind of mess up the thing. But if you look at who was our governors on the border, you have Gavin Newsom's not going to do jack crap. Katie Hobbs isn't going to do jack crap. Then you have another Democrat governor who's not doing jack crap in New Mexico. And then you have the governor of Texas, Abbott, who may or may not do anything. It's unclear. Like, he does some stuff, but he could do more, I think. And so it's all by design that we have these people that are controlling our border, not really doing the best they could. And it's really sad, because if it was them sold into slavery, if it was them being tortured and raped five or six times a day, they would beg someone to come get them. But unfortunately, they don't think that way. That's why this movie is important for everybody to watch, as hard as it is. As hard as it is, it's so important that we do not shy away from this movie, because we have to see the evil for what it is. Because once we see the evil for what it is, then we want to take action, because we feel for those kids. We feel for the father. You know, that police officer, that federal agent, he put his life on the line for a kid he didn't know. I mean, he went into the roughest area of Ecuador with the meanest, baddest cartel members that there were. And he got a girl. And then he was able to give vital intel to the local law enforcement. And they got the bravery and the cojones to go in there and rescue more children. It took one brave man to do it. One. So I would ask you today, if you could, lift up a prayer for all the kids. Ask God to send his warrior angels to surround and protect them, help release them. I think of the Bible story where God would go into the prisons and rescue Peter and Paul and Silas, and they just walk out the prison. And that was my prayer during the entire movie. I just kept praying the whole time I was watching it. And I still am going to continue to pray for those kids, because we need to pray for our law enforcement and for their safety and protection, and where to go. They need to know where to go, how to get the intel to know where to rescue the children. So pray for all the people that are trying around the world with the Underground Railroad operations and various organizations around the world that are not governmental. They're like a non-governmental agency, but they're trying to do great work. So I think it's just an important topic we have to keep on the surface, and praise God for President Trump, because he kind of brought it to the people's forefront during his presidency, where no one talked about it before. And then he comes into office and now people are starting to talk about it.
Well, I think there's a connection and a nexus here because of the ungoverned space of Arizona, because of the ungoverned border. There's this topic of Chinese males coming in. And I think that there's a close connection and tie-in with the whole child trafficking issue with this matter. Now, one of the questions I have, because I don't know Arizona law, things like that. Do you have, is marijuana legalized in Arizona? Yep. So to what extent? Anybody can get it, even yep. though there's federal laws against it. So anybody can get
yep, marijuana. There's dispensaries, you can go and get it, doesn't matter.
So you don't need a doctor's, nope. don't need it. Okay. Yeah. And I think this is, and I do not agree with this at all. In Arizona, in Virginia, it's not quite the same. It's more restrictive, but this is part of collapsing society. And I think a lot of the Chinese that are coming across the border, there's a tie-in with the you know, because we've actually in Oklahoma, there's been murders of Chinese on Chinese nationals on Chinese nationals involved in the cannabis industry. And I think there's a strong tie-in. Arizona is both a conduit and a location of operation.
Yep.
So I would posit that a lot of those Chinese males are coming in to be part of the cannabis industry in Arizona. Now, this is a little bit of a contentious topic even on our side, because people say, well, what about those with that need it because of you know, they're going through cancer treatments and things like that. I said, I don't agree with this. I think there's other medications. Just because people say, but alcohol is legal. You know, why not cannabis? And I go, oh, just because something is already legal doesn't mean we should create new addictions. And I always, if you look at the Netherlands and their process, where it became state-sponsored addiction of those most vulnerable, it's bad. But again, my topic was really the Chinese. I think there's a strong nexus between the Chinese coming across the border in Arizona and the cannabis industries, and also a strong connection between child trafficking. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to wake up and get organized in Arizona to realize what's going on. If you're facilitating, again, we can't be against child trafficking or for MAGA and President Trump. And oh, but we also buy weed from the dispensary. I'm sorry. People say, but it's not as bad as I'm sorry. There's so much of the cannabis of today is oftentimes laced, reinforced with other narcotics that are, it is a gateway drug. So I think, I think that is really, really, it's a challenge and an issue here. So, I think we need to organize and realize the connections here between these different, phenomenons in our society. So you can't be a pot user and say, but I'm supporting President Trump and I'm against child trafficking. Well, you're very likely enabling it through your use of cannabis. So, I really, really, if anybody's involved in that, I pray for you. You need to disassociate yourself from that. And it cannot work. And it's enabling, these dysfunctions enable each other to collapse our constitutional republic. And the Chinese young males are coming in and they're providing the infrastructure. Are they creating organized units? I don't have any evidence of that, although experts such as Gordon Chang has mentioned that. I'm not seeing evidence of them actually organizing into units. However, they are trained and equipped to be the foundation for those units. So that is gravely concerning. And Arizona is the entry point, and it's the entry point and the transit point, but also I'd say there's probably a strong Chinese infrastructure in Arizona that can become the vanguard of taking over. So,
I'm sure.
So I think that's in Arizona. We got to really, really work on this.
I mean, I'm just concerned in general. Yes, we know the Chinese have come in. We also know military-aged men fled our country like crazy. I mean, this is concerning. This should be concerning for anybody. You don't have a whole bunch of military-aged men flooding a country and expect nothing's going to happen. I mean, that's just not reality. So, again, it's all by design. It's all by design, and that's what's so sad. And so if more people learn about the truth and we shine light, then the darkness has to flee. And I think there's still so much hope left for our country. I really do believe that. But until we do films like this to really drive home what's the truth of going on in the country, because it's easy to put your blinders on and not see it. But if you know it's out there and you see a movie like this, then you're more likely to do something. And if doing something is just as little as just being vigilant in your neighborhood, report things like that. And that will also help, I think, with some of this illegal people coming across our border. I think that would help if we all are very vigilant about our surroundings and what we see. And then we can report that, because your concern is a valid concern. Valid concern. Well, I know that you have to run. You've given me so much of your time already. You're a busy, busy man. Everybody's in demand for Colonel John Mills. And I always appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to follow me. I want people to get a hold of your book. You have another book coming out. Do you have a date on when that book is coming out, sir?
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Amber. Yeah, it's thenationwillfollow.com. Thenationwillfollow.com. My time in the deep state, fighting the deep state. And providing a lot of information, the Durham investigation, which there was positive outcomes. Mm-hmm. The second book is, we're projecting about September, October, and it's War Against the Deep State. And it's more details of the foundation of mass surveillance, which I helped put together. What could possibly go wrong? And how do we take down the fourth, fifth, and sixth branches of government, and a number of good success stories. So, coming out, and excited about that. And then Colonel Rhett John on Substack, Getter and Truth.
That sounds like an amazing book. Oh man. And I cannot wait till that book comes out and we can talk about it more and get people's hands on it. But both of your books I would highly recommend. But right now, thenationwillfollow.com, The Nation Will Follow is the one available. And then coming up is that second book. Thank you so much, Colonel Mills, for your time. I so appreciate you.
Thank you, Amber, and we'll hit it again on a regular, on or around the first Wednesday of every month. Take care, Amber. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Are you getting tired of woke companies trying to destroy our country and strip off us all of our freedoms? Big Mobile is no exception. In fact, we should be calling them Woke Mobile. Did you know that Big Mobile gives tens of millions of dollars each year to organizations that are trying to take away the very freedoms that you and I are working so hard to defend? It's time to do something about it. So here's the good news. Do you have a choice in the matter, and is there an alternative? Well, Patriot Mobile is the America's only Christian conservative wireless provider who shares your values. They offer the very best in nationwide coverage on 4G and 5G LTE networks and an exceptional 100% base customer support. So Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar they earn to conservative organizations that fight for our freedoms. They support organizations like First Liberty, Turning Point USA, Susan B. Anthony List, the NRA, Folds of Honor, Students for Life of America, and many more. And this year, they're going to give more than $1.5 million to conservative causes. And with your help, they aim to double that next year. So the time is now. Our votes are no longer enough. We must stand together and support other like-minded companies and share our beliefs and values. Your cell phone is one way we can stand together against the fight of the left and help make America great again. So Patriot Mobile offers discounts for veterans and first responders, NRA members, and families with multiple lines. So if you want to learn more, go to patriotmobile.com/amber. That's patriotmobile.com/amber and use promo code AMBER at checkout. Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.